B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do I think this would have happened without me being away from the team for 5 days? Honestly?
Honestly.
Yes.
It was going to happen.
It was going to happen.
Inevitably.
Did it help ease the decision? Yes.
So there's a highlight from Cam Newton's big reveal. Funky Friday interview with his father today. That's hour two of Gender Free Friday. Felger and Mazza, Gender Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch him at BernardiAutoGroup.com. We'll play a few longer cuts this hour of it. But before I do, I watched 38. I couldn't do the whole. I couldn't take the thing. Like, I think Cam Newton is way too self-important. You know, the thing that just strikes me is, boy, there's a lot of carrying on and the reverence for a guy who's just not that good. I mean, he's just, it's a little sad. I mean, carrying on like he's the man when he's barely an NFL quarterback anymore. It's like, oh God. So I made it through the first 38 minutes, then I like enough. So, but I'm sure most of you have picked your way through most of it. So before we play a long clip, do you have any thoughts on it in general?
So look, I've heard the cuts. I've not watched the beginning 10. So let me say that up front. But that particular comment there, on the one hand, I did kind of like it because I thought, well, there's some truth to that. Like, I don't think singularly that him, you know, having the 5 days off because of COVID is what killed him. I think the fact that he played badly was more, or that the other guy played better was more important than that. If Jones doesn't have a good camp, it's irrelevant. Okay, so that part I agree with. On the other hand, I do wish Cam took a little bit more accountability for it. Like, I do wish he said, hey, look, you know, I wasn't there for 5 days. I did open the door for it. And that wasn't there either, so that part kind of bugged me. But the bottom line is, he's not good anymore. He hasn't been good for a long, long time. And, I don't think he's playing in the league again. I think it's over.
Do you have a thought, Jones, before I play a clip?
Yeah, I mean, I first of all, kind of was entertained by it, to be honest. I've never seen the Sip and Smoke, but I've heard Murray say that's pretty entertaining. I can see why. I thought his dad was kind of funny, to be honest. But my big takeaway is listening to the whole thing. There were people out there, not me, but there were people out there that thought the quarterback competition was never really a competition. It was a faux competition. And I think that's true. Now, after listening to Cam Newton, I just think everyone had it backwards. It wasn't a fake competition for Cam Newton to win the job, obviously. I think it was kind of a fake competition the whole time. They wanted Mac Jones. They were testing Mac Jones. I think the whole thing was a fake competition the whole time, and Mac Jones was going to get it.
Okay, so we'll play a clip. I think in general, he definitely spoke out of school with the team. Maybe there's one point he brushed up against it when he talked about the team, encouraged him to go to Atlanta for the second opinion, which I don't totally believe, frankly. But either way, that's about as close as he came. He's diplomatic through the thing, and it doesn't burn any bridges and doesn't give you any real dirt, I don't think. But either way, so here's just number three. Jimmy, this is a long cut. We'll stop and start it. It's describing his release. Go ahead, please.
I'm true blue as they come, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, when it happened, we went through the meeting, and, you know, Matt, Patricia was there, Bill was there.
So just stop right there. He describes himself, he's walking into the locker room and someone comes up, probably Bear, says, Bill wants to see you. And he says, he's over there, pointing in one direction. And Cam goes, his office is over there. So no, over here. So they have the meeting somewhere other than Bill's office. So I don't know what that means. The weight room or an auxiliary office or whatever the hell.
Patricia was there, the lunchroom.
And Patricia's there. It's Bill and...
It was the kitchen.
It's Bill and freaking Fatso. So anyway, go ahead. That's what he's talking about.
And, you know, Matt, Patricia was there, Bill was there, and we greeted each other and we just started talking. And at that time, they told me that they were going to, you know, give the reins to Matt. And I was like, okay, cool, da da da. And it didn't dawn on me that I was like, y'all releasing me? You know what I mean?
Did you ask or you just said that?
I was confused Bill, I mean, we all were shocked. Yeah, yeah. It was all uncomfortable for everybody, but I wanted to, hold on. I wanted to make sure that, listen, I've been in this league for 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
You know, I know how this works. I don't want y'all to feel sorry for me because you didn't raise me like that. Right, you didn't raise me to just be like, no, man.
Right.
What you mean,
right,
man?
Right.
It was like, listen.
But that's the perception of the angry black man, of course. And
so you can stop right there. They go to that a couple different times about how they're conscious. They don't want to come across as the angry black man. It's referenced a couple different times from Newton and his father. So this is like something that's sort of, it's just brought up a couple times by those guys throughout the course of this thing. You can continue.
Don't speak truth to power. It was a dirty move. It was a sucker move.
No,
to
it
the
wasn't
extent.
No
and let me, so, let
so,
me
so stop again. So to that's the, Cecil. That's the father saying it's a dirty move. It was a sucker move. So his father says probably what Cam wants to say, but it's the father saying it.
Yeah, it's right out of the Brady playbook.
I was just going to say that.
Good point.
Where have we heard that before?
Good point.
And like, I don't.
The only thing missing was Zoe.
So I don't watch all of these. I've never watched one before. But the sense I got from the beginning of it was that he has a different kind of guest on every week, right? Or maybe it's just him. But his dad's not there every week. It's not like it's him and his dad every week. So I thought it was interesting. His dad came in for this week specifically, especially when you've talked about Felger like NDAs and things like that. Like maybe,
well, Cam can't say it, but right. Can the father?
That's what I'm saying.
Is the father violating the NDA?
There's a reason why the dad's there. The dad can voice some things that Cam can't voice.
There you go, Jones.
I'll tell you what, I love that strategy.
I think you cracked the case. All right, again.
I got to bring my father in. So.
Exactly. All right, back to this. Cecil and Cam Newton.
Extent that all I heard was you were the day one. I'm going with Dollar Bill on that quest, okay? And I know you didn't do enough to be a detrimental asset to this organization on no front, all right? So how that transitioned, I think it was, you know, the powers that be.
Can we be honest? And this can kind of merge organically?
Bring it to me.
The reason why they released me is because indirectly, I was going to be a distraction.
Without being a starter. Yeah.
And this was
but
not
how?
Gonna come.
Not, verbally or in the locker
just
room?
Just my aura.
Okay.
Just my aura. And that's just, and I told you this off camera, that's my gift and my curse.
Yeah.
When you bring a Cam Newton to your facility, when you bring a Cam Newton to your franchise, people are interested by mere fact.
They are intrigued.
Who is he? Yeah. Why does he wear his hair? Yeah. Why does he talk? Why does he act? Why does he perform? Why does all these questions?
Yeah.
So let me be honest with you.
Come to me.
Saying this.
Yeah.
If they would have asked me, would I play behind? They say, Cam, we're going to give the team to Mac.
Okay.
You're going to be the second string. We expect you to be everything and some to guide him throughout this tenure.
Okay.
I would say absolutely. Yeah.
Cam.
But listen.
Cam.
Listen, the truth of the matter is this. He would have been uncomfortable.
With you looking over his shoulder?
Yeah.
You felt like that?
Yeah, he would have. And they knew because you have to understand.
You are intimidating presence now.
That is true.
So it's like, I wish you were good. You know, I wish you could play. And then you wouldn't sound like such a jackass about your aura being your curse and your gift. And I think there's some truth to what he's saying. He's got a big personality, and so that was probably part of the reason they did what they did. But boy, he carries himself like he's still the cat's ass, man. And it turns out he can't play.
Well, see, it always...
So it's like, I find myself rolling my eyes the whole time. It's like, dude, do you realize you suck?
Okay, because it sounds awful when it comes out of your own mouth. That's the thing. But generally, so again, if someone else had said it, true.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to it.
Yeah, so I...
Some.
Yeah. Now I also find it interesting that he says, yeah, I'd have been the backup. I'd have done it. I wonder if he's fudging it there a little bit. Like, you know, it's easy to say now after the fact when the thing's over and you're gone, yeah, I'd have been the backup, sure, no problem. So I do have some doubt. I'm not saying he's lying. I'm just saying it's easy to say now. Okay? But... You know, they never offered it to him. I mean, I think we can say that is fact now.
Yeah, so I think the plan was to eventually have him be the backup. And I think that changed around that trip to Atlanta.
So you think the COVID thing did kill that?
Absolutely. When you say COVID, and I'm not, you know, I think people have got it confused. I don't think they released him because he's unvaccinated or necessarily that. I think there was misunderstanding is one way to put it. I would say a dispute. You know, I would say a real difference in opinion over what happened in that Atlanta thing.
Yeah, right, about him leaving the team.
You know, and we'll play the cut coming up. He says, you know, that's my right. So it's in the CBA that you can go get a second opinion if you want. So the team couldn't stop him if they wanted to. You know, Cam portrays it like, yeah, the team encouraged me. Good idea. We'll FaceTime. We'll do all of this. Well, the thing is, the team couldn't say no. It's in the CBA that you're allowed to go for a second opinion. And Newton also fudges why he needed the second opinion.
Well, so I was just going to say that. The conspiracy theory that that was kind of a fake second opinion, listening to this, don't you kind of think that? Like,
yep.
He's like, oh, I don't have any pain in my foot. I just wanted to go back to the surgeon who did the Liz Frank 2 years ago. Like, that made that trip sound real fake.
Yep. Back to Atlanta. You know, so it's sort of like, how do you get a trip to Atlanta? How do you get, I'm trying to think, a leave, you know, from the military? You know, well, there's a medical excuse.
Medical appointment.
So he used the medical second opinion as an excuse to go home for the weekend. Doesn't make him a bad person. I mean, and, you know, so I don't totally believe that he needed that second opinion. He said the foot was fine. It's just you want to have the guy that did it originally take a look at it. Well, you can't send him the x-rays or the MRI. Like, what is he going to? So I think that whole thing, you know, caused the release. But I do think his big personality in that as well was a factor in it.
Yeah, his departure from the team for those 5 days was the catalyst.
Yes.
That's what triggered it.
Yes.
And so, but there were clearly fractures or cracks in the relationship for them to, and in his status as the starter, for them to be willing to move on from him.
Okay, we'll take your thoughts on that. We'll take your thoughts on anything. It's agenda free. Bob Soucy is going to make his first stint of the season as well coming up, so don't go anywhere.
Smoking hot!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here we go.
He's Mr. Bob Soucy. He's got hot takes.
He was miserable.
And he thinks that Felger and Mass are just a couple of snakes.
He's Mr. Bob Soucy. He's 5 foot fun. Here comes a take that'll scorch you like the sun.
Here it comes. It's that time of year again, Maz. You ready?
He's Mr. Sun.
The voice of the New England Patriots, Bob Soucy, here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, joins us every Friday at this time, and so he does via Zoom. Bobby, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on again this year. I want to let the Florida man who called in earlier to be rest assured, Jim Murray. Although I disagree with his take on Chris Godwin, it was an OPI. Nonetheless, I will not be front and center for the Patriots like Gene Dekaroff on Sunday. Right. I will be at Stone High School tonight for the grand opening of its new high school stadium, but I'll be in the background on Sunday for sure.
Okay, we only got 8 minutes, so we got to rifle through this.
Let's start with your thoughts
on the Cam Newton interview, since that's where we just left off. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think in retrospect, he spoke for a lot of us in that he was surprised ultimately when the decision was delivered by Bill Belichick, but the signs were there throughout the summer, whether during training camp practices or even, as you referenced, the snap distribution in games. He went first, yes, with the starters, but Mac Jones clearly was gaining ground in a hurry coming out of the spring and surpassed him, you know, by the time the roster decision was made. I go back to the early days of training camp talking with Alex Barth on our station podcast. And at the time I was of the mindset, you know, maybe Mac doesn't really have to outplay him by all that much to win the job. I wish I had stuck to that conviction, because I think, you know, that was true in the end, that Mac Jones was the quarterback to allow the team to evolve the offense. And, you know, Cam, whether it's the aura being a curse or blessing, I think the president's probably, as a backup quarterback, might have been problematic down the road, as much as you might have been willing to accept it today. That caught me by surprise, is his remark that he was willing to be the second string quarterback. But I don't know, you know, whether, again, I think as Tony said in the last segment, you know, that was genuine, sincere, and how long lasting those emotions might have been. Other than that, you know, I didn't find too much newsworthy in it. I thought your last point was interesting. When I heard him reference the reason for his absence going back to Atlanta, whether it was because he really needed a medical opinion on the Lewis Frank, or a second opinion at this stage, a couple of years removed from the Lewis Frank surgery, or, you know, whether he needed an excuse to go back to Atlanta, I don't think that's something you want out there. There's too much other things that jeopardize his interest in continuing to play football this year, whether it's the body of work from last year, you know, his body broken down as it's been in recent years overall, or being an unvaccinated quarterback right now in this situation in the NFL with, you know, I think a hesitancy on the part of teams, whether they admit it or not at this stage, to bring guys into their organizations who aren't vaccinated.
Yeah, I just felt his explanation about why he had to go for that second opinion felt shaky to me. What were your opinions, Bob, on what you saw last night, Tampa Bay, Dallas, and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski? Don't forget him.
Yeah, maybe because it's only the first show, but I do concur with you guys more than I disagree. I certainly thought Brady was very good. He looked like Tom Brady, as good as he was at any point during the years that I've called the Patriots games, going back to the 2013 season. And I thought Gronk looked fantastic. He was better than we've seen him in a long time, you know, coming off the line the way he did on the second touchdown catch, and just, you know, the impact he's had for them in the last two games, obviously the Super Bowl and this one. And I think that it was referenced that Gronk, you know, felt like he was coming along finally at the end of last year. I think Jeff Howe or someone in the local media put that out on Twitter, and he looked like it. He looked like he had his legs. He looked like he had a spring to his step. He looked strong. He looked quick. He looked everything that he didn't appear to be for much of the 2018 season. And so that was really the main takeaway for me from that particular game.
Bob, were you suggesting at the beginning of that answer that as the year goes on, you're going to be more inclined to disagree with us because you're going to hate us more and more? Is that what you is that what you were getting at? No, I'm just asking. Before I get to my question, I'm asking, is that, that's a yes or a no?
You know, Tony, the more time we spend together, that's usually how it goes, right? I mean, I have to work myself up into a lather. It takes time to develop the miserly hot takes that I have, you know, in store down the road. Okay. Right now, I don't have much.
Okay.
So. All right. I got nothing for you.
Okay. So we're now in year two, AT, after Tom. And it feels this thing keeps getting worse for the Patriots in terms of, you know, obviously they raised the banner. And again, now Gronk looks like he's 5 years younger all of a sudden. So how do the Patriots change that? How do they all of a sudden take the focus off of that and change it back to the Patriots and where they're going? How does that change in your mind?
They have to win. They have to play well, and they have to win. And it starts on Sunday in a divisional game with a rookie quarterback. Not that Mac Jones has to go out and be sensational, but I think there's a lot of optimism surrounding what they've done. Now, there are a lot of questions that go with all those moves that they made in the offseason, particularly now you look at the injury report, the situation at the wide receiver position, and in the secondary without Stephon Gilmore on the field right now, and some of the other questions coming out of training camp and the preseason on the back end of the defense. But overall, it should be a vastly improved defense based on what they've done up front. I mean, the offensive line is a strength. It should be a good running attack. The two tight ends, assuming they're healthy and productive, and maybe a third tight end as well in Asiasu, who I think showed promise. I think that breeds optimism in this team. And if they can go out there and play well on Sunday and give the fans reason to be even more excited about their prospects, not only down the road, but, you know, even in the short term, you know, I think that changes things. And of course, week four changes things. And that gets me to another point about last night. As much as, you know, you look at Tampa Bay's offense, and I didn't think their defense played very well, but if the Patriots are going to have any chance to beat them in week four, they're going to have to be able to run. And I don't know how you run in Vita Vea and those guys in the interior of the Tampa Bay defense, you know, the way he looked.
Oh, it's a great
night.
Point. Dallas didn't even try. They gave up. And that
they gave up.
The Vita Vea is freaking a mule. I have to get to a sold element here with Bob because he's that popular. We sell him. Yeah. It's the threat to eliminate. It's brought to you by ReliaQuest. ReliaQuest, defending the world's largest companies against cyber threats. Make security possible at ReliaQuest.com. ReliaQuest.com. ReliaQuest. ReliaQuest.com. So this is the threat to eliminate. What do the Patriots need to eliminate or overcome to beat Miami on Sunday? If you want to turn that into just a key to the game, go ahead, answer that however you like.
Yeah, and this is going to sound trite, but don't make big mistakes against a defense that turned it over 29 times, a league-high number of takeaways last year with a cornerback who led the league in interceptions, because I think both teams go into this really in a similar situation. They're going to try to disrupt, frustrate, confuse a young quarterback. Tua is not much more experienced than Mac Jones. And, you know, I look at Miami's defense, of course, coming from Belichick and his system. Brian Flores and Josh Boyer will institute a lot of the same things they have over the last couple of years with those amoeba fronts and moving pieces. So it all comes down to don't make the critical mistakes. I would expect a low-scoring game. I think the Patriots are better suited in this kind of game for two reasons. They have the better offensive line. They have the better running game. I think their tight ends are better if they're both out there, speaking of Henry and Smith, and heavily involved as I would expect them to be. You can't make mistakes. I mean, two things Mac Jones had going for him throughout the summer, accuracy and decision-making. And part of the decision-making is learning from mistakes. Well, against the Dolphins, he's going to be tested. Of course, this is a game of unknowns, but you can expect Miami to throw a lot of different stuff at him and try to confuse him. Just don't turn it over, because I think the Patriots are going to be able to do the same thing against Tua. They're going to present a lot of things he hasn't seen to date as a quarterback of the Dolphins, and I think they'll probably have more success getting to him with the pressure than maybe Miami will.
Okay, Robert, thanks for your time as always, man. We appreciate it. We look forward to the stint every single week.
Well, I know you do, as do I.
No,
next week,
well,
I'll try to bring a little heat.
I mean, Maz, right. Maz gets to bring out the plushie. We get to sing the song, and then you get to spank us every week. It's all like it's a win-win.
Yeah, in fact, what I would like you to do, though, Bob, if we're going to do this via Zoom, I would like you to, for future appearances, wear a smoking jacket.
All right, Bobby, look forward to the call on Sunday.
All right. A little sip and smoke next week, guys.
Yeah. All right, Sosie and Zoe on the call, 4:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub on Sunday. It's a agenda-free Friday with Maz in the Maz seat, Adam Jones in our update studio. There was breaking Red Sox news this afternoon. Jones has it, and we'll come back with more of your phone calls. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones here, as promised, on Felger and Maz on Agenda-Free Friday. Jeff in Salem, go ahead on last night.
Felger, as a former, still somehow a Packers fan, watching Mike McCarthy last night is a goddamn disaster. I mean, honest to God, guys, it's 2021, and they're still giving Tom Brady a minute left in the fourth quarter. It's going to happen for another 20 years. Stop it, Fat Mike.
Sackless.
What a mistake.
But, I mean, everyone does it. The Packers did it just in the NFC Championship game. Kicked a field goal at the end and gave Brady a chance to close out. Don't give him the ball at the end. What is so complicated with this? You can't give him the ball. Dallas either had to go for six or make sure that the clock was at zero by the time they lined up for the field goal. That's it. There's only two options. You're going to put that defense up against Brady with a minute and a half to go at home, only needing a field goal? You're done.
Yeah, toast. And that last part is critical, too, needing a field goal. He could have thrown the ball left-handed and gotten him down. I'm not joking.
And even with Arian screwing up that 10-second runoff decision, Brady still had plenty of time, still figured it out. Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So I was a little sick to my stomach watching the game last night because I thought I was over it, but turns out I'm not over it. I think the performance brought to light what we lost. I mean, Brady was our guy. This was our guy. And he was amazing. And I do hope that Bill answers this, and I hope the Patriots do well because I am a fan, but it doesn't erase the fact that he robbed us of the opportunity of watching this greatness week in and week out and claiming it as our own.
Oh, it's so in your face. It's just, I mean, it just couldn't be more glaring. I mean, the whole night, the whole thing is surrounding him, and he's still at such a high level. He played so well, and he wins the game the way he wins a game. And add salt to injury, there's Gronk, and it's like the Brady to Gronkowski thing was like it was 7 years ago. I mean, that was Brady to Gronk in their prime, pretty much.
Yes, 8 for 8, 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. And that's the other thing, too, is the degree of difficulty in some of those plays was fairly high. And I'm not telling you that
defenders were draped all hanging off of him.
On that ball he caught, and I know we keep citing the same play. It was on the second drive of the game up the seam. I think it was the 2nd and 5. He was bracketed. There were 2 guys on him. Brady threw it over the linebacker's shoulder right by his ear, and Gronk stuck his hands up and caught it.
Well, or how about the second touchdown where they're completely on the same mental page, like the adjustment, like that's what's there with those two. The physical and mental connection was there last night.
And the way Brady threw the ball. So the deep seam to Gronk on the 2nd and 5 was just a laser. Then he turns around and he floats a beautiful 30-yard ball over the top into the bucket to Antonio Brown on the other sideline. Then I think the next play, he picked apart the zone and hit Godwin underneath, and Godwin on the slant for the touchdown is freaking surgical. It'd be one thing to be a Colts fan and watch Peyton Manning in Denver and say, well, he's not the same guy anyway. You know, it hurts kind of, but, you know, clearly he's diminished. It's another thing to watch last night and watch Brady and say, holy crap, he's the same guy. He might be kind of better.
That ball he threw to Brown, the one you're talking about, that he's getting better at that throw. He was getting good at that at the end of last year.
Guy in Boston, hi.
Hey, Michael, you two guys, you and Maz, I've been telling you for 2 years, and I'm telling you, the only other guy I want to get in touch with is Max Kellerman. He said that Brady was going to fall off a cliff 6 years ago. I'm going to mention 4 quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Philip Rivers. Tell me something. You want to put them in Brady's category? Thank you.
No one's in Brady's category.
Yeah, who's doing that?
No one. Anthony and Millbury. Go ahead, Anthony. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, guys. I think this is more an indictment on Kraft than it is Belichick. I mean, if you think about it, he had the option of getting rid of Bill, keeping Brady with Gronk. He has McDaniel there for some reason, so why not just put McDaniel in as the head coach, keep Brady there? This goes back to when they had Garoppolo. Kraft intervened, got rid of Garoppolo because he wanted to keep Brady, and then when it comes to the big decision of keeping Brady, they get rid of him and keep Belichick. I think this is more on Kraft than anyone else.
Thanks for the call. There's a lot of fans that feel that way.
Yeah, look, Kraft was a significant part of it, and again, I go back to the negotiation before the final season, too. That whole request that Brady had to not be franchised, and Kraft granted it to him. Kraft basically gave him a free ticket out of Foxborough. Says, yep, here you go. You can use it. You get to decide. So the greatest player in the history of the league, the greatest asset the Patriots have ever owned, they literally walk out the door for nothing.
And now that we're thinking about it, and Felger, you follow this closer than I do, but like the same thing's kind of going on with Rodgers in Green Bay, right? Like he's not at the end of his deal, but they're kind of giving him like a wink and a nod agreement that like, hey, we'll do something next year.
So they eliminated the last year of his deal, which is not next year, it's the year after.
Right. But so I'm not talking about being able to be franchised. I'm talking about maybe an exit next year, like a wink and a nod.
Yeah.
Like not only are fans kind of piling on Kraft for this, and they are, I wonder if his owners or fellow owners are kind of piling on and saying, you've set a pretty crappy precedent for all of us here throughout the rest of the league. And now we all got to deal with these angry quarterbacks. Like, I wonder if he's getting it from, you know, the people whose opinion he probably cares about, too.
Yeah, I'm curious about that as well. Yeah, because I think there is pushback from the league that these quarterbacks, you know, the NFL owners, you know, over their dead body, are they going to let this turn into the NBA where guys just pick their teams and choose their shot and conspire with other players? And like the owners, or the NFL owners, way too control, you know, happy, power hungry, power. I'm butchering my words, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
They are
control freaks.
They are too much control freaks. Thank you. And so, yeah, maybe there is some pushback against Kraft for that.
Look at the borderline epidemic that has taken place in the league. You know, Russell Wilson wants out. Rodgers wants out. Deshaun Watson wants out. Like, in his case is different, too, but he wanted out of there before this.
And every time any one of these players or these quarterbacks turns on the TV with Tom Brady, and Tom and Gronkowski are light as a feather, happy as clams, lighting it up, getting paid, winning games on commercials, pregame, postgame, at commercial, banking money, saying what they want, winning, like, they won big time. And any other quarterback in the NFL is going to look at that and go, Well, there's the ticket.
Exactly. And meanwhile, they have their feet in the kiddie pool.
It just couldn't be.
And Brady's doing Bitcoin commercials or whatever the hell that was.
Oh, my God. And trolling Bill with the, oh, geez.
He's pulling down his pants and doing the meat spin.
Nate in the truck. Go ahead, Nate.
Real quick, two things real quick. Brady's proving and his motivation is showing that Bill's biggest botch job with the 20 years that he had him with them with the organization, even with that lull for 10 years for not winning a championship, that's why he went on. And now what we're seeing is with Belichick, with the unprecedented, you know, spending over $200 million and babying Cam and everything, right now, right before our eyes, we're watching Bill getting exposed.
Well, he's chasing it. He was exposed last year. Now he's chasing it. Now is a chance to answer.
Oh, yeah, no, Brady's exposed.
There's no doubt.
He pulled down his pants and he exposed himself.
I mean, seriously, could have been any worse last night? It's the freaking Tom Brady show. I mean, from start to end. Meanwhile, the Patriots' most recent franchise quarterback, Cam Newton, got things off of his chest, such as it was. We'll circle back to a few other cuts real quick and finish up that topic in our long commercial-free segment next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just sling and pull at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're going to win football games with Mac Jones.
But they were going to win them with you as well.
That's a fact, too.
All right.
But I don't want the audience to kind of think like, oh, he only saying that just because he's not there no more. Like, no. Like, yeah. Mac is good enough. When they picked him, the selection that they did pick him, they wanted to find out a couple things. But one of those things that they wanted to find out is he capable of leading this offense to be productive?
So there's another cut from there. Again, I think for the most part, he didn't throw any dirt or darts at the Patriots. The best lines came from his father, and maybe that was, you know, intentionally so. Great point by Adam Jones. As I've mentioned, Patriots make their players, I think they make everybody, sign NDA agreements where you can't disparage the team, even post-employment. And so, for the most part, no one ever says anything bad about him publicly, who've worked there, but that doesn't apply to the father. It's like such a great point. So, all the things that Cam can't say, his dad says, just like Tom, just like Brady. So I wonder if that's what's going on there. So, like, I think the closest that Cam came to throwing something back at the team was the vaccination question and him missing that time. And he said earlier, the cut we played you to lead off the hour, where he said that he thought they were going to Mac Jones either way, but that him missing that time after the trip back to Atlanta made it easier on him and, you know, opened the door, greased the skids. I don't know how he put it, but something along those lines. He said it would have happened either way. So I think that's fair. And I think for the most part, he was fair in this thing. Except the vaccination. All right. So number five, Jimmy, it's about a 3-minute cut. We'll stop and start it. I think it starts with Cecil, the father, talking about why he's anti-vax. So go ahead.
Let me come back to the vaccination. Because everybody said they offered you to take the vaccination and you refused. Let me go on record as pop. Let me go on record to say this. I am vaccination hesitant. I am. I don't take everybody's opinion about what I should do. I never in my whole life have followed the masses. If everybody's going left, look for me to probably find a way to go right.
Stop. I can't help myself. That's a great philosophy. That's tremendous. I mean, that's one thing to do with sports takes, which obviously is what I do. But when 99% of the medical community and doctors say one thing, I'm going to do the other. That's an excellent way to go about business, sir. Every doctor you talk to says, do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other thing. Tremendous. Very proud of you. Go ahead.
That's just the person I am. So I'm kind of hesitant of that. I don't think the data spells out exactly all that the vaccination is supposed to do. I'm not going to get into all that political conjecture. But there's a lot of information flowing out there and just trying to hurdle these people through that. So they said Cam would have taken the vaccination. They wouldn't have had no choice but to, you know, kind of keep him.
No.
You want to speak to that?
No, this had nothing to do with no vaccination. And let's just be honest, and let's go back real quick, going back to being away from the team for those 5 days.
Yeah.
They gave me clearance to go. So I don't want nobody to think like that I just went up. Like, I'm owed a second opinion. Yeah. That's just a fact.
So you want to talk about why the trip was necessary or what that was about?
The trip was necessary because this was the last time I felt that I was going to have an opportunity to get in a second opinion. Not to say that the personnel, not to say the personnel and with the Patriots wasn't coherent to telling me everything that I needed to know, but having four eyes on it is better than having two eyes on it, in my opinion. And it wasn't that I was having any issues or pain. I just wanted to do a checkup, you know, with the person who, in essence, diagnosed me with the lens sprain. I felt obligated to kind of, you know, check back in with like a 6-month review or to say, hey, listen, doc, man, right, this how I'm feeling, like I'm getting a little pain,
yeah,
you know, it's manageable, you know, but just check it out.
At that joint or your foot in general?
No, nothing. It was just, I'm just
yeah
giving you okay hypotheticals.
All right.
So I crossed all the lines. I checked all the boxes. I, you know, dotted all my I's, and then to find out that I had to sit out, but I'm like, that's when I kind of felt bamboozled because I'm like, y'all told me to go.
Yeah.
If you said stop. It wasn't.
See, I think he's all over the place here. I think he's all over the place, and I feel it's shaky. You know, first he says the team gave him clearance to go, but then he said in the next breath, I'm owed a second opinion. What he's talking about is, I believe in the collective bargaining agreement, players are allowed to go get second opinions. Not allowed. It's their right under the CBA to have a second opinion. I think that's
right.
Probably that way in all sports.
Yeah, it is. Pretty much it is, I think.
Okay, so even if the Pats had to give him clearance, it's like the Pats had an option. And also, I believe as part of the COVID protocols, there's only a couple of circumstances where you're allowed to leave town. And this second medical opinion is one of them. So Newton knows that. So the whole thing is about the team gave him clearance and encouraged him. Well, they had no choice. They had no choice. It's in the CBA. It's in the COVID agreement with the players union. You're allowed to leave town for this. He knew it. And he says, you know, there's no issue. And then in another breath, he says there's no issues or pain. And then about 10, 20 seconds later, he says, well, you know, there's pain. It's manageable. And then his father says, is there any pain? He said, no. Well, hypothetical. Well, what is it? And then what? The check-in? When was his Liz Frank injury? Wasn't it like 3 years ago?
But it was the injury that had him sitting out the year before he got to New England, like
yeah,
2
right
years ago.
So
yeah,
two years ago.
He played like two games in 2019.
Right, two games, I think it was.
2 years? Over two seasons ago. Or two seasons ago.
I think he suffered it against the Patriots in the preseason.
He did. He did. Right. That's right, Jones.
So fine, 2 years ago. It's like, I don't know. I don't think he's on firm ground there. I mean, and this doesn't make him a bad person. I mean, I don't know. The guy feels trapped in town and he lives in one place. His family's in another and he wants to get out of town for a weekend. So he sort of fudges the second opinion thing, the medical thing, to get out of town and see his family or go home or whatever. It doesn't make him a bad person, but that's my guess what happened. He just sounds too shaky on this. I don't fully trust it. And he contradicts himself too much about it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the truth is somewhere in there. And I do think that he probably used the injury as an excuse, the previous injury as an excuse to get out of town and just, you know, take a few days off, go see his family. I do, however, also think there was a misunderstanding, to use the Patriots word, about when he was going to go. And I think that that's what happened is that.
Oh, I think it's entirely possible that someone on the team said the wrong thing to him and they got confused. I don't put that past the team doctor I know they're pretty dialed in down there, but maybe they just made a mistake and told him the wrong thing. I mean, I have no doubt about that either. That could have happened.
Yeah, and he might have gone to the mic just to say, you know, I want to go get this checked out. Okay, fine, no problem. We'll figure that out. Yeah, okay. But they didn't expect him to leave that weekend, right?
Oh I see.
Right? So they thought it was going to be later or whatever, and there's something got botched there.
I mean, I think if you're in these COVID protocols, you just can't leave town. There's just too many things that could go wrong, which did, and it ended up costing him, I think. And I just think he's all over the map on this. You want to just finish the cut there, Jimmy? Go ahead. Pick it up where we left off.
Like, Cam, now, you know, if you go, You're taking it up on your own risk now.
Correct.
It was not that.
So hold on. So just back up 5 seconds. I think he's saying the team did not say to him, be careful.
Correct.
Okay, so go ahead. Just back up a little bit.
I had to sit out, but I'm like, that's when I kind of felt bamboozled because I'm like, y'all told me to go.
Yo.
If you said, it wasn't like Cam. Now, you know, if you go, you're taking it up on your own risk now.
Correct.
It was not that. It
Would
was
you
like,
have
oh,
gone
man.
Knowing the situation?
Absolutely not.
Yo. Yo.
But, you know, it was almost to say, like, you know what, I really need a second opinion. You know what? Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. you know, we could FaceTime, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We had already
arranged
everything. Yo, and we did it. Yo. And I got the COVID test for yo. What it was.
Okay, so you told me to go. I don't believe that. I just don't. Like, it was the teams. Here's a guy out of nowhere. Cam, why don't you go back to Atlanta for a second opinion? You know, we have all the tests you need and our doctors and all the great doctors here in Boston. But here's an idea. Why don't you go to Atlanta for the weekend, unvaccinated, facing all these COVID protocols? It sounds like a great idea, doesn't it?
Oh, there's no way they told him to do that.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's no way they told him to do that. Because the only way that issue comes up is if a player raises it. You know, the team doesn't say, by the way, you know that injury you had 2 years ago? How's that feeling? Pretty good. Why don't you get that checked out? I mean, you still, no, I'm not joking.
Especially when he's like there's no pain.
No. Teams love when players get second opinions.
Love it. Because you start doing that, how many guys on the team are you going to do it with? Hey, Hightower, remember that surgery you had like 4 years ago?
Yeah, why don't you go check
that checked out?
Why don't you check with another doctor other than ours and see what he says? We'd love to hear it.
And in fact, if you want to skip town for a few days, go ahead. No, there's no way it went down that way. He went to them. He went to them and asked. And then again, where it gets gray, I don't know. But he went to them. Okay. No question.
So there's that. Chris Casper joins us coming up off the top of the hour. First, Jones with updates here. There's, speaking of COVID, there's some more Red Sox news on that front. Then we'll get to Gasper right after this. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.